Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon this evening is based really on two texts, one from Jeremiah, which I will read, and the other from Luke, which I will read. Jeremiah writes this, "And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, 'You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant?' And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Then the officials of Judah heard these things. They came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, 'This man deserves the sentence of death because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears.' Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, 'The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For the truth of the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears.'" This is the word of the Lord. And our gospel lesson is simply these words: "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not." This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, as you read through the Bible, the one thing you should really strike you is the consistency of it all. On the one hand, you have the consistency of sinful, rebellious people always transgressing God's law. And on the other hand, you have the consistency of a God who is exceedingly patient, a God who is tremendously merciful. But the question is, why doesn't man listen to God? One of the things I want to tell you, God is so consistent, I'll give you exhibit one, because he sent prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet to his people to call them to repentance. But the reality is, he consistently sent them calling people to repent of their sins and return to him with all of their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. Now, your Bible is full of their names. Prophets like Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Nahum, and the list goes on and on and on. But what did the people do to the prophets? It was bad enough they wouldn't listen to them, but they wanted to stone them. To heap sin upon sin, they wanted to put them to death. And so you heard that in Jeremiah that I just read. Jeremiah said, "Do with me with what you think is right in your own eyes. But I tell you, if you put me to death, you're going to have problems." We live in a society, I think we don't like the message, we'll simply just kill the messenger. And when we act that way, and we do, we are just like what the Apostle Paul describes with these words: "Those who walk as enemies of the cross of Christ, their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame, with mindset on earthly things." But your loving Heavenly Father will not give up. He will never give in. His desire is to have a relationship with you. But it's worth asking, why were people like that? God loved them. That's why he sent the prophets. Why were they so dead set against their message? And I think one of the reasons why is because they weren't the only prophets. You heard that tonight in the gospel reading from the Passion, is the fact that there were prophets there while they were arresting Jesus. There were others that had a voice that was contrary to the voice of the prophets. It was Martin Luther who popularized that phrase, when God builds a church, the devil builds a chapel right next door. I think it should kind of be updated for this. Whenever God sends a prophet, the devil sends one to contradict him. And so the prophet Jeremiah said, you know, it's time to repent. And what did the false prophet say? Repent of what? Your lives are just fine. Everything is going well. God has blessed you. Live, drink, eat, drink, and be merry. It doesn't matter. Everything is going to turn out fine. What message would you want to listen to? Repent, or everything's just fine? Oh, his other message was simply this. Destruction is coming. The false prophet simply said, destruction? You're the children of God. He is not going to let anything happen to you. That's hogwash. Just blow off Jeremiah. We don't need to hear his voice. Who would you rather listen to? The false prophet's words seem so appealing. They like speak right to my itching ears and tell me exactly what I want to hear. But it continues even to this day. For every faithful pastor who speaks God's word, there is always someone there to contradict him. They'll say things like, well, that's not sinful. Pastor, he's so antiquated and old-fashioned. He's an old man. He should hang it up. Things have changed. There's no need to repent. You're doing just fine. God loves you. Relax. Don't worry. Be happy. Who would you rather listen to? A pastor who calls you out on your sin? Or a false prophet that tells you exactly what you want to hear? Well, dear friends, the false prophet will tell you, you never need to repent. You never have to fight those sinful temptations that are set before you. Just do what you want. Do what feels good. You can just keep on securing your sins, doing what you want. Life is grand. But do we really want a God like that? A God who tells us what we are to eat, that we're supposed to eat, drink, and be merry, even though destruction is right around the corner. Is that the kind of God that you want? Well, yes, we do. Yes, at times, I do. See, the old sinful Adam that lives within sight of each and every one of us loves to hear those words that whatever I do is fine. You remember when you were growing up and you were always kind of a little bit envious of the kids whose parents like were the fun mom and dad that let the kids stay out as late as they want, go to any rated movie they want to go to. They could eat whatever they wanted. There was no chores. The kids basically just ran the household. And you are really, really envious of them. But do we really want parents like that? Or do you want parents that love you enough to tell you, you know what, you really do need to eat your vegetables. Because in the end, you're going to be healthy. Oh, and by the way, parents that love us enough to tell us when we're wrong, so we'll know the difference between right and wrong, and live a life as a mature disciple of Christ. Or my mom and dad probably won't hear the sermon, so this is okay. Parents that actually discipline you. Sometimes in my case, it took a little bit more than my brothers and sisters, but discipline I needed. Because I needed to realize that you need to live your life within the rules of the family, as well as within the rules of the family of God. So one reason people don't listen, because there's a lot of other voices we want to listen to. But there's also another reason too. The second one is that people don't listen to God's prophets, I think, is because they have a really, really short memory. Now think about it in your way. When things are going well, they forgot all about God and all He had done for them. When we got into the promised land, we got everything going our way, who needs Him? We're already home. And how about us in our lives? When our health is going well, when the finances are well, my marriage is good, school is going well, all these things are going on, I really don't need to think about Him because I got this. We got a really short memory. And then there's the flip side, when things go to hell in a handbasket, and then we sit there thinking, God doesn't even love me, He doesn't even care about me, so why should I turn to Him? Why should I offer my prayers up to Him? Rejoicing and relaxing in our good fortune, or wallowing and despairing in our trouble? Our answer is always the same. Jeremiah, why don't you just go away and leave us alone? That's what the Pharisees were telling Jesus in the text I read just a portion of. He's telling, you know what, Herod wants to kill you. Why don't you just go away? Things were better off before you got here, Jesus. Can't you just stay out of our business? But what kind of God do you want? One who will leave you alone, or one who will save you? Now, remember last week's sermon? It was about Jesus and the temptation of the wilderness. How Jesus went right into the wilderness, those days of hunger, and the devil tempted Him those three times. And every time Jesus overcame it by repeating God's word, He literally went to battle with Satan and won. It was awesome. But tonight, we cut just a little bit closer to home with a God who didn't just come to save us from Satan, but He literally comes to save us from ourselves, from our sinful nature, from those rebellious inclinations that each and every one of us have, from those destructive desires that want to pop their way out in our everyday life, which is a bit less comfortable to admit. We at times are those chicks that refuse to get under the wing of the hen as she provides protection, comfort, and help for us. See, it's not just Israel. It's just not the people from Jerusalem that rebelled against Christ and what He wanted to do with them. It's you and me. See, the reality is, I don't want to repent. I want to live my life as if I don't do anything wrong. See, I'm just like the Pharisees. See, that's me. I don't want to give up the sins that I like. Why would I want to do that? I don't want a God who disciplines me. I want life on easy street. I don't want to hear what I'm thinking or doing or saying or desiring is wrong. I want a God who will compliment me and say, "That a boy, you are doing things the right way." Just like the false prophets of old who promised the world and say, "My sin isn't sin and I'm doing just fine." But is it true? Are we doing just fine? Your answer to that question, there's a lot riding on it. You see, in other words, Jesus spoke back to the Pharisees and says, "Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem." What was Jesus saying? He was telling them, "I'm not going anywhere. The course has been set, and my destiny is the cross of Calvary, and there's nothing that will keep me from it. Because I will go to the cross, and I will fulfill the law. I will drink the cup of wrath that my Father has given to me, the sins of all humanity, because I love you." He's going to be that God who loves you enough to do what is best for you, even when it means laying down His own life for you. Now, for those of you who are parents or have done some daycare work, you realize the expense that young families go to with children in the household. I honestly think that all of my youthful energy was sucked out of me by my children. Not to mention, if you look at the statistics of how much it costs to raise a child, I'd probably be a millionaire today. We go to great sacrifices to raise our children, our time, our energy, our talents, and all those things because we love them. And if we as loving parents do that, how much more so a loving Heavenly Father? And so Jesus says, no, Pharisees, I'm not going anywhere. Because he didn't come to save his own skin, but Jesus Christ came to save us. Not once did Jesus whitewash our sins, but he called them what they were. He called us what we truly are: godless, faithless. That's who he called us, because he sought our forgiveness through his blood. He came to be a God, not that we wanted, but the God that we needed. The God who makes us not citizens of hell, but of heaven, who will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body, Scripture said. Isn't that the kind of God worth having? And dear friends, that transformation has taken place in your life already. As you pass through the water of holy baptism, he has brought you into his own family. God calls you his very own child. You hear it in the words of absolution, those comforting words when we're sitting there in the guilt of our sins, to hear that voice say, as a called and ordained servant of the Lord, I forgive you all of your sins, and so they are forgiven. We're also comforted by God's word, but it calls us to repentance and teaches us the truth of who we truly are. In a moment, you and I will be transformed once again through the body and blood of Jesus, where he gives his life as a sacrifice for our sins. I wished I could tell you that troubles will never find you in this world. I wish I could tell you that disease won't happen, the coronavirus won't get in our community. I wish I could say all that stuff, but I want to tell you the truth. The truth is that Satan will never rest. At times, your troubles are going to be heavy and difficult. But your Lord is victorious. But the refuge of our Savior is not a trouble-free world, but the confidence in knowing that we are safe and secure in the midst of our troubles. That no sin, not Satan or death or hell, or as Paul said, anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He has defeated them all for you. So our hymn tonight that we began with is kind of meaningful. Lord, thee I love with all my heart. I wish I could say that it's true for me, that I do love the Lord with all of my heart. Oh, that it was the Satan within me that could do all the talking, but unfortunately, the old sinful self still dwells. But I want to tell you that God loves you with all of his heart, but not that old sinner within me. Not the old pleasure-seeking, God-doubting, world-watching sinner that dwells within inside of me, that's kind of like a whack-a-mole that needs its head beat down by the law every other day. But I do know that our Lord loves us. And during this Lenten season, he shows you that love. He demonstrates it for you. Amen. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.